Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Janice LaChance, Director, Office of Personnel Management. Well, in this second segment, Janice, let's spend some time talking about your experience at OPM. How has the agency changed since you arrived in 1993?
Oh my gosh, it's night and day. It's a completely different organization than the one I walked into, but for one factor, and I want to say that first, the level of professionalism at OPM has never changed. The people who work there are extraordinarily dedicated professionals that I'm just so proud to count as associates and friends. But first of all, I think the most noticeable change at OPM is that we are half the size that we were in 1993. As you may know, we underwent two very significant privatizations of some major units at OPM, our training function and our investigations function. And as a matter of fact, the investigations function is the government's first ESOP, the government's first employee-owned company, and they're doing so well. All of the former OPM employees are very wealthy now, so we all envy them very much. But I think in addition to just the numbers, the fact that we're half the size that we were, the fact that our budget is one-third lower than it was in 1993. What's most significant is the agency's orientation. We have really changed the definition of customer. It used to be that we were very process-oriented, that it was all about checking off the boxes. Now we're looking at what our customers want, what they're looking for from us, what we can do for them, and always, always how we can do it better. So a complete reversal in our philosophy in looking at the customer and the results that we're getting for the customer. We couldn't be happier in terms of our orientation, trying to be more flexible, trying to provide what people need while maintaining a very strong foundation in the merit principles. And to me, that includes veterans' preference in maintaining the kind of system that we can all be proud of as American citizens.
Most leaders, when they talk about reductions in budget and decreased headcount, would not describe it so positively. They would talk about what a challenge it is and how trying it's been, and yet you don't. I'm wondering how did that come about in such a positive framework?
Well, at OPM, we decided we were going to redefine success. You're absolutely right that most of the time you define success by an increase in your budget or by adding more people or starting a new program. At OPM, we decided that we were going to be successful if we could have the kind of agency that the American people could be proud of and that our customers valued. And I think we've done that. And it doesn't matter that our budget is lower and that there are fewer people. The fact is we are accomplishing our mission in the most effective and efficient ways possible. And we have every reason to be proud of our record.
Well, you made an interesting speech on June 13th to the National Academy of Public Administration where you said something like, the workforce is shifting from process to results, much like you said a minute ago, which has direct implications on organizational design and the use of human resource management systems. Can you tell us more about this shift and how OPM and other agencies are responding?
Mm-hmm. We have worked very hard over the last several years to make human resources and the people of government an integral part of the government's strategic planning process. I think the entire government has gone through an incredible shift over the last few years from process to results, as what, even though OPM might have done it a little bit sooner than the rest of the government, the fact is that the one factor that was left out of the process were the people. And we really didn't spend a lot of time thinking about how and what kind of people and what kind of skills you needed to accomplish your mission. We talked about the missions, we talked about the goals we wanted to achieve, and we talked about how to measure it, but nobody talked about how it was going to happen. Now, I think we've been able, with the president's memorandum that he issued last week, to really elevate the entire human resources operation in the federal government, bring it to the decision-making table, and make it a part of every agency's strategic plan. And that's what I talked about at the National Academy, this new approach to making sure that the focus of all our strategic plans and everything we want to get done in government are the people who work for the government, because there are no results without the people.
Well, let me ask about the directive. The president has directed the heads of agencies to fully integrate human resource management into planning, budgeting, and missions. and more clearly state specific human resource management goals starting October 1st, year 2000. So could you tell us more about this directive and its impact?
Sure. Well, the directive is really going to mean that we're, if I can use a colloquialism, we're not going to get caught with our pants down. We have a huge potential retirement bubble coming up in the next several years because of the aging workforce, because of the demographics. We could lose some very talented people. What the president told the agency heads was, stop, look, and listen. Make sure you understand what's happening in your agency. Make sure you know who may be going out the door over the next several years and what kinds of skills and institutional knowledge they're going to take with them. And make sure that you have the plans in place to replace them and bring on the skills that you need to accomplish your mission without any interruption. So what he did was force the agencies to start thinking between now and October 1st about how they were going to integrate and incorporate human resources practices and planning into their overall strategic plans. And October 1st, they've got to make it happen.
And the president also renamed the Interagency Advisory Group of Federal Personnel Directors as the Human Resource Management Council. Could you tell us about the responsibilities of this new council?
Sure. Let me talk a little bit about the IAG. For almost 50 years now, the IAG has been a wonderful partner for OPM. It's made up of the senior personnel directors at all of the major departments and agencies, and they've been a wonderful advisory committee for us as we developed our policies and our strategies on how we were going to approach HR over the last several years. What we realized at OPM were that these very talented, dedicated people who had the right focus, who understood that an agency's employees were really the key to getting the work done, that those people should have a seat at the agency decision-making table. I think very often in the past what would happen is all of the managers would get together with the stakeholders and come up with a strategic plan. And then they'd go to the HR person and say, well, we need 20 accountants and 30 high-tech types and God knows probably 60 or 80 lawyers to make it all run. And it was after the fact. It was not always what people were looking for. And what they did was reduce the strategic human resources function to one that was a paper pusher, somebody that was oriented in process, somebody who reviewed applications or put ads in the newspaper. We want to change that. We want that expertise at the table when the decisions are being made, and that's what this president did.
Well, great, and it's time for a break. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of the Business of Government Hour.